Hello and welcome to episode 23 of the Heritage Connection, brought to you by the folks here at the Tower Heritage Center, home of the Washington County Historical Society in Washington County, Wisconsin. Our mission is to forge meaningful connections across generations to Washington County's hardworking legacy, and this podcast is one more way we're trying to make those connections. I'm your host, Justin Agar Pratt, and I'm joined by my co-host, Bella Bussey. Bella, how are you today?
I'm good.
Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah.
How are your holidays?
Good.
Good.
I'm glad we're slowly progressing through the winter season.
Yeah, and 2024, here we are.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's our season finale. And Bella, I've really enjoyed this first slate of episodes with you, and I'm excited to continue in the new year. Mm-hmm. And speaking of continuing, this may be the end of our season, but in this episode, we'll be discussing a beginning of sorts. The beginning of some big changes coming to the Washington County Historical Society.
Yeah, Justin and I are going to discuss those changes and how they'll temporarily affect our day-to-day operations. First, let's start with the Historical Society's newest asset. If you haven't heard already, Justin and I are pleased to be the first to share with you that in October of 2023, the Historical Society purchased the 1865 Frisbee House, located on the corner of Main and Poplar in West Bend.
This Italianate Cream City brick building was constructed in 1865 and, as its name also suggests, was built by historic Washington County figure Leander Frisbee. Now, if you'd like to know more about him, go back to episode 17 where we introduced him as one of the six members of last year's class of the Achievement Hall of Fame. Our goal for the Frisbee House is to use it as a welcome center and intimate program space.
The vision for the first floor is that it will be fully restored and contain exhibits related to the home, its residents, and Washington County's origins. The second floor will be the operational hub for Historical Society staff. This project is slated to be completed in 2025.
Next up, we have the 1889 Courthouse. Now, work is already underway to transform the building and leverage the building's original design and later alterations to better serve the community. Over the course of the next year, we will be refreshing our exhibits. The footprint of exhibits on the first floor will shrink, but this will allow our small staff to better maintain them and keep them fresh.
The Research Center, currently located on the third floor, is moving to the second floor of the 1889 Courthouse. This will allow us to take advantage of spaces on this floor that are currently underutilized. The historic courtroom on the second floor will continue to be available as a venue rental for weddings, parties, corporate gatherings, and other private happenings.
So, what about the rest of the rooms in the 1889 courthouse? Well, with our staff offices shifting to the 1865 Frisbee House, we're going to launch a community business incubator space in the 1889 courthouse. This member-centered offering will provide space and resources to startups, nonprofits, small businesses, and corporations. These areas of the first, second, and third floors will include office, co-working, and conference spaces. Now, as I said before, work is already underway to transform these spaces, and our goal is to have work completed in 2025.
Moving next door, the 1886 jailhouse will move forward by going backward beginning mid-2025. How can something move forward by going backward, you ask? Well, the vision for this structure is to fully restore it to 1886. This total restoration will include vital conservation, replica furniture, and more.
As for the courthouse square, where the 1889 courthouse and 1886 jailhouse sit, beginning in 2026, we will revamp the existing landscaping to better represent the property as it was in the 1880s, 1890s. This will include a garden space and reproduction landscape with period-appropriate design and heirloom seeds. This project will allow for new programming opportunities in our currently underutilized green space. Now, I mentioned earlier that the exhibit spaces on the first floor of the 1889 courthouse are going to shrink, but I should add that by adding exhibit spaces in the Frisbee House and these outdoor exhibit/programming spaces, square footage-wise, we're actually not losing any exhibit space. Mm-hmm. It's just being redistributed among those spaces.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be, like we said before, fresher. You know, we'll be able to make things change a little better and easier.
Yes.
And it'll be something new almost every time you come in for a visit.
So. Right, exactly. So How will this affect our visitors and everyday use of the buildings? Well, because this is being done in phases, we're aiming for minimal impact to our members and visitors of the general public. So here's what you need to know. The 1889 courthouse's museum spaces will be closed to the public until the end of March 2024. Once the annual inventory and the move is done, the research center will reopen in its new space starting in early 2024. And we'll keep you posted on an exact opening date as we get closer. The historic courtroom will continue to be available for rentals, and our regular programming will continue to take place as scheduled.
Guided tours of the 1886 Jailhouse Museum will continue to be available on Thursdays and Fridays as usual, but these will be by appointment only until March 31st, since the lobby of the 1889 Courthouse Museum will be closed. Again, no walk-ins will be available. All guided tours of the 1886 Jailhouse Museum will need to be scheduled at least a day in advance based off staff availability.
Does this project excite you? If so, you can support this campaign in a number of ways. Become a sustaining donor, make a planned gift, or invest your time and talents. Reach out and let us know. In total, this is going to be a $1.27 million project. We need your support. Do you have any questions that weren't answered in this episode? Reach out and let us know. Now, Bella, we have two polls that we have to discuss from previous episodes, but unfortunately, we didn't have anyone take those polls. Mm-mm. Well, we had one, and it was you.
It was me.
Yeah. So in lieu of answers from listeners, we're going to discuss our answers to the polls. Mm-hmm. So the first poll was from episode number 21, which we dropped on December 15th. That was that Four Songs of Christmas, our first musical episode. That poll had to do with Christmas cookies. So we had our list ranking, or I guess asking people what their favorite Christmas cookie was from the list. And that list was cutout sugar cookies, gingerbread, candy cane cookies, Spritz, and snowballs. So since we're going to discuss our options, let's rank them. Why don't we start with you, Bella, starting with, do you want to do least favorite or starting with your top of your list?
I'll start with my favorite. Well, it would be a tie.
Okay.
Between cutout sugar cookies and Spritz cookies.
Okay.
I just think they make the spread look so nice.
Yeah. Visually, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then snowballs, because those are always out at my family Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then gingerbread, because I like the flavor.
Yeah.
And then candy cane. I already said I just don't like those at all.
Yeah, we were kind of hating on the candy cane cookies when we first talked about it. Not hating on them, but, you know, and of course, this is just our opinions. This is, you know.
There's no right or wrong.
There's no right or wrong. So don't be offended if you like the candy cane cookies. And if you do like candy cane cookies, you probably should have taken the poll.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It is only available on Spotify, though, so we understand if you listen through the website that may have prohibited you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so looking at this list, I'm going to start at the bottom. And as much as we spent time talking about the candy cane cookies, I'm actually going to put snowballs at the bottom.
Mm.
Because, and maybe I have not had the best snowballs, but I feel like I've had a pretty good variety. They're just a little dry for me.
Yeah.
And there have been numerous times where, like, it's probably because, like, you're at a Christmas party and you're talking and you kind of, like, inhale at the wrong time when you're about to take a bite and the powdered sugar, like, attacks your throat and makes you cough, right? And then it's just messy. And that's just, like, a me thing. Like, I don't like, I will not order wings if they're not boneless. And mm-hmm. I don't like eating food with my, like, hands. Like, sweet corn, I've got to have the tabs.
Okay.
Which is a me thing, right? So snowballs, they're at the bottom because of that. Then I would put the candy cane cookies mm-hmm. at number four. Number three would be the spritzes. I like the way they look. I don't love the flavor, but I like the flavor better than the candy mm-hmm. cane. Because it's basically like a sugar cookie, kind of.
It's like a shortbread.
Yeah, I guess more shortbread. Mm-hmm. Then gingerbread, and then I think the cutout sugar cookies,
mm-hmm.
just in general. When I was a kid, we always had those, like, red, the cinnamon, like, buttons.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That we would put on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had those in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those are our Christmas cookie lists, mm-hmm. our rankings. The next poll was from episode 22, Seasonings Greetings, and that one dropped on December 22nd. And this was regarding German Christmas traditions. Mm-hmm. Which German Christmas tradition was your favorite? And as a reminder, the options were St. Nicholas Day, Krampusnacht, or Krampus Night, Kristallen, which is the Stalin, stolen. Did we ever determine how that's actually pronounced?
No.
We probably should have.
We should.
I've heard it pronounced both ways by many people. So then there's the Nutcracker, and then there's Advent's calendar or Advent calendars. Mm-hmm. So those are the options. Bella, do you want to go first?
Sure. My top pick, the one I voted for.
Yeah, let's just do the number one, because these are a little hard to rank,
that,
I think.
Yeah, that was, I picked St. Nick's Day. It's a good memory of growing up, and it really just started the Christmas magic at the beginning of the month for me, and I'll probably continue to do it with my kids someday.
Yeah. For me, it's the Nutcracker. It's the one out of this list that we actually never had nutcrackers, like, as decorations growing mm-hmm. up, but I know the story. There are various versions of the Nutcracker that I remember watching as a kid and reading the story, and I love the sweet. I like the ballet, mm-hmm. and I was very surprised that it was, like I said in that episode, I had no idea it was an existing, like, there was, like, a lore around it.
Right.
And I didn't know it was German. I always assumed it was Russian. So the familiarity and the warm memories and the surprising history behind it is what clinched it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. Well, in our next season, we'll try to do some more polls. We'll be a little more specific around the timing of those polls, because mm-hmm. when we first announced these in those episodes, we hadn't really calculated out, like, leaving enough time for people to answer, and so we've worked out the kinks now for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we hope that you'll take them. We hope that more people than Bella will just take them. Now, we have a correction to make from earlier in the season. So if you listened to episode 17 titled Meet the Hall of Fame's Class of 2023, I made a mistake. And this is a mistake that I wanted to make sure to correct here on the podcast. I'm also going to have to correct it in an exhibit. So when not too long after the Class of 2023's exhibit opened in the Achievement Hall of Fame, it was brought to my attention by one of our visitors that I had Clyde Schlamer's wife's name wrong on the label. And I didn't have, you know, my research in front of me, so I said to him, well, I'll be sure to look at that and make a correction if necessary. Well, I did indeed make a mistake. We identified Clyde Schlamer's wife's first name as Isabella. It is, in fact, Myrtle. I have no idea where I got the name Isabella. It's not even close to Myrtle at all. Mm-hmm. And I was using Clyde's, one of the pieces of research was Clyde's obituary, and I could have sworn I pulled his wife's name straight from that obituary. And then I thought to myself, well, maybe it was like a surviving daughter or niece or aunt or something. Nope, nowhere to be found. So I have no idea where I got that name. come to find out, Bella's full name is Isabella, mm-hmm. but I didn't know that. So I don't think it would have been that. So Who knows? I probably got busy doing something else in the middle of typing that up and just didn't catch it. So I apologize for the mistake. We'll be making the correction on the exhibit label at some point. I wanted to make sure to speak to that since we had talked about it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So my apologies, but the Clyde Schlamer's wife's name was, in fact, Myrtle, not Isabella. So there you go. As we said before, in a previous episode, we're about to embark on a 3-week hiatus, but plans are already underway for our second season mm-hmm. of the Heritage Connection. We've got some good things cooking.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, Bella, what's new with you? We've just gotten past the holidays. We talked a little bit about how I don't think either of us really do resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking forward to in 2024?
new opportunities as a young professional, I guess. I'm kind of just finding my way a couple years after graduating college, and I'm continuing to write, which is what I really wanted to do, and do creative projects. So I'm just looking forward to more of that.
Anything that you can share with us that you're working on right now?
I am trying to do a collection of short stories, which kind of is an ode to my college days and the group of girls I lived with. So
sure. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, if you publish it or put it out there on social media or anything, you'll have to let us know so we can promote it on the show.
Totally.
Well, we'll be back on Friday, February 2nd with season 2 of The Heritage Connection, and we'll look forward to that whole new slate of episodes. And I want to thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Heritage Connection, brought to you by the Tower Heritage Center, home of the Washington County Historical Society, whose mission is to forge meaningful connections across generations to Washington County's hardworking legacy. See you next time!